All right, well, we're back in our series, The Beginning and the End, and today we're going to be in Revelation chapter 17. This morning, you're going to see a woman riding on a scarlet-colored beast. The beast is the Antichrist, and the woman is false religion. If we could peel away the mascara, we might change the title of the sermon from Beauty and the Beast to Ugly and the Beast. This chapter introduces us to a Babylonian mother and a Babylonian monster. As I said, the mother is false religion, but the monster is the world system that's united with this false religion under the direction of the Antichrist. Let's look at the Babylonian mother first. Take a look at Revelation chapter 17, verse 1. And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. There are three major women who are mentioned in the book of the Revelation. The first one is in Revelation chapter 12. And verse 1, where it says, And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. Now, if you were with us when we were back in chapter 12 and did that study, you'll know that this woman represents the nation of Israel. Revelation chapter 19. Verses 7 through 9 describes another woman. It says, Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor unto him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. Of course, this is talking about the church described as a woman who is the bride of Christ. But then this morning, we see the devil's counterfeit church described as a woman also, but she's not a bride pure and white, she's a harlot. James chapter 4 and verse 4 says, You adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship with the world is enmity or warfare with God? If we become a friend of the world, we become the enemy of God and we commit spiritual fornication. Now, in regard to this harlot church, I want to show you the scope of her influence. Verse 1, the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. Verse 15, it tells us what those waters are. And saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. In other words, in this last day, this apostate religion is going to hold sway over the entire world. Verse 2, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. There's going to be a union between this false church and the state. The church is going to control the state. The state is going to use the church. And the world's going to be intoxicated by this false church, and they're going to think it's such a wonderful woman. I want you to notice something else in regard to her power. Look at verse 3. So he carried me away in the spirit to the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. Now, we met that beast once before, back in Revelation chapter 13. And verse 1, and I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns, same beast. And upon his horns, 10 crowns, and upon his heads, the names of blasphemy. That's the Antichrist. So this woman and the Antichrist are in cahoots with each other. And the woman will be to the Antichrist what the church is to Jesus Christ. The church is the bride of Christ. This is going to be the bride of the Antichrist. So let's do some comparisons and contrasts. Now listen, I'm going to give you lots and lots of scripture. You're not going to be able to keep up with it. I don't imagine it's going to be on the screen, but it's in your bulletin. I put that whole long list of scriptures that I'm fixing to share with you in the bulletin so that you would have those for your study at home. And you can look all this up. But let's do some comparisons and contrasts. We're told that this beast has 10 horns. Well, in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 6, we're told that Christ has 7 horns, 7 being the number of perfection. The beast is the king of the earth, according to Daniel chapter 7, verse 8. Jesus is the ruler of the kings of the earth, according to Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5. This beast is going to claim deity, Daniel 11, 36. The Lamb is deity, John 20, 28. The beast is proud, Daniel 7, 25. The Lamb is meek, Matthew chapter 11, verse 29. The beast is blasphemous, Revelation chapter 13 and verse 5. The Lamb's speech is controlled by the Father, John chapter 14 and verse 10. The beast is a deceiver, according to Daniel chapter 8 and verse 23. The Lamb has no guile found in his mouth, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 22. The beast will war against the saints, Daniel 7, 21. The Lamb comforts the saints in Revelation 7, verses 7 through 17. The beast will shed the blood of others, Revelation chapter 6. The Lamb gives his blood for others, Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9. The beast will speak great swelling words concerning himself, Daniel 7, 25. Jesus speaks words of life, John 6, 35. The beast will break the covenant with Israel, Daniel chapter 9, verses 26 and 27. The Lamb will fulfill the covenant with Israel, Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 10, and also Romans chapter 11, verses 25 through 27. The beast will act according to his own will, Daniel chapter 11 and verse 36. Jesus is submitted to the Father's will, Mark chapter 14 and verse 36. The beast will demand and force people to worship him, Revelation 13, 4. The Lamb will be worshiped out of love, Revelation chapter 5, verses 8 through 14. The beast is the son of perdition, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 3. The Lamb is the Son of God, John chapter 1 and verse 14. The beast is the man of sin, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 3. The Lamb is the Lord of glory, James chapter 2 and verse 1. The beast will gather the armies of Armageddon, Revelation chapter 16, but the Lamb will bring his armies to Armageddon, Revelation chapter 19 and verse 14. The beast ascends from the pit, Revelation 11, 7. The Lamb descends from heaven, Revelation 19 and verse 11. The beast, I like this, the beast is symbolized by a spotted leopard, Revelation chapter 13, verses 1 and 2. But the Lamb is represented as a spotless lamb, Revelation chapter 5, verses 5 and 6. The beast is demon-possessed, Revelation chapter 16, verses 13 through 14. The Lamb is spirit controlled, according to Luke chapter 4 and verse 1. The beast comes in his own name, John chapter 5 and verse 43. The Lamb comes in his Father's name, same verse, John chapter 5, verse 43. The beast comes to destroy, Revelation chapter 13, verses 1 through 10. The Lamb comes to seek and to save, Luke 19, 10. Folks, what a comparison and contrast between the Son of God and the son of perdition. You've seen the power of this Babylonian mother, in that she holds sway over the whole earth in the last days. But there's not only her power, I want you to see her prosperity. Look at Revelation 17 and verse 4. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. She's going to be extremely prosperous because of her union with the state. The state will continue to pour money into her coffers as long as the state can use her power to get what it wants. And then we see her perversion in verses 4 and 5. Having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication, and upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Way back in our study of Genesis, in Genesis chapter 11, we saw the beginning of the kingdom of Babylon, where they built the Tower of Babel. You remember that? That was the beginning of Babylonian thought and Babylonian religion. It was under the direction of a man by the name of Nimrod, who is a typology of the Antichrist. The people were saying, let us build a tower that will reach into heaven. Folks, all man-made religion builds or tries to build from earth to heaven, but all true spiritual religion comes from heaven down to earth. Man doesn't need a boost from beneath. He needs a birth from above. Amen? The Babylonian motive was wrong. Their method was wrong. Their materials were wrong. And so, therefore, they're forced to sit beneath the ruins of their tower of blunders and weep. They also had the wrong mentality. In Genesis chapter 11, it says, and they said, go to, let us build a tower. They weren't acting according to the word of God. They were just pooling their ignorance and coming up with their own ideas. They had substituted, thus saith the Lord, with thus saith the mind of man. They also had the wrong man. This was basically Nimrod's idea. He's a type of the Antichrist. And so something that happened way back in Genesis is still alive when Jesus comes again. And as we continue this study, we're going to be amazed at just how much of the Babylonian religion has influenced and infiltrated the Christian church. Not only do we see this whore's power and prosperity and perversion, we also see her persecution. In Revelation chapter 17 and verse 6, it says, and I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus, and when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. See, Bible-believing Christians are going to suffer persecution as never before. You say, well, now, wait a minute, Pastor. I thought you told us we were going to go up in the rapture. Well, we are. But not before the trouble starts. Now, think for a moment, folks. There were Christians at Hiroshima when we dropped the atom bomb. There were Christians in the concentration, the Nazi concentration camps, where they had those horrendous gas ovens. Don't ever get the idea that just because you're saved, you're going to escape these kinds of things, because God's never promised that. You will escape God's wrath. No born-again believer will ever come under God's wrath. That doesn't mean you won't come under persecution. As a matter of fact, the Bible says all who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. The noose is beginning to tighten. You see, the world has had enough of Christians. And they lump us all together with the Jim Joneses and the David Koreshes and the Ayatollah Khomeinis. And they're tired of all the fighting. They want peace. They think we need a one world religion, a coexist religion. Makes me want to throw up every time I see one of those coexist bumper stickers. You cannot coexist with somebody who wants to chop your head off. When they kill all the true Christians, they're going to think they've done the world some kind of a wild favor. And that's when we're going to see the marriage between the church and state. It's all going to seem so logical, so reasonable, that the whole world is going to be drunken with the wine of her fornication. But there's not only this Babylonian mother. I want you to also see this Babylonian monster. In Revelation chapter 17, verses 7 through 8, "And the angel said unto me, Wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which has seven heads and ten horns. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is." Sounds like a riddle, doesn't it? Let me unwind it for you. First of all, you need to understand that the word beast can refer both to a person and a world system. You cannot separate the Antichrist from the kingdom of Antichrist. The beast who was and is not and shall be again is the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire is described in the Bible as a beast with ten horns. And then when you go back to the book of Daniel, it's described as an image having ten toes. John is simply telling us that the old Roman Empire is going to be revived. But it also refers to the Antichrist who was and is not and shall be again. Now, I'm going to tell you something here that I cannot prove. I'm going to tell you that right up front. I can't prove it. But I'm going to give you some food for thought, okay? I think there's some interesting scriptures that might make the case that Judas Iscariot could come back as the beast. Let me show you. First of all, Luke 22 and verse 3 says, "Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. Judas is the only one mentioned in the Bible that that happened to. Judas and the Antichrist are the only ones in the Bible who are called the sons of perdition. When Judas died, we read in Acts chapter 1 and verse 25, "From which Judas by transgression fell, that he might," look at this, "go to his own place." That's something to think about. So, food for thought. Do with it what you will. Let's go back and let's talk about this Federation of Nations. I want you to look at the geography of this federation. Verse 9. "And here is the mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth." Which city do you know of that's famous for sitting on seven hills? Rome, of course. That's a geographical clue. In verses 10 through 11, he gives us a personal clue. "And our seven kings, five are fallen, one is, the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth and is of the seven and goeth into perdition." Again, a big riddle. There are seven Roman emperors. Five are fallen. When John wrote this, there'd already been five Roman emperors: Julius Caesar, Tiberius, Caligula, Claudius, Nero, and then it says, one is, when John wrote this, Domitian was the emperor. And then it says, one is to come. That'll be the last emperor. He's known as the Antichrist. Out of the 10 kings in the European common market will come a person who I believe is going to be a 21st century Roman emperor. It says he's of the seven. In other words, he comes from a long line of Roman emperors. Verse 12 talks of 10 kings who had not yet received kingdoms. In other words, when he was writing this, they hadn't received their kingdoms. I believe they have today. I believe this speaks of Britain, Ireland, Denmark, Italy, Luxembourg, the Netherlands, Belgium, West Germany, France, and Greece. 10 countries. The European common market was federated on January 1st, 1980, when Greece became the 10th nation to enter the federation. It says that these will receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. Now, that doesn't mean 60 minutes. It's a determined period of time. You know, when they crucified Jesus, they said, this is your hour. And he replied, my hour is not yet come. That didn't mean he's going to get 60 minutes and they were going to get 60 minutes. That's not what that means. Jesus was saying, you're going to have your time and I'm going to have my time. So look at verses 13 through 16. These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. And they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. And he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore and shall make her desolate and naked and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. The whore played with fire and she got burned. She was married to the beast and all of a sudden the beast says, I want a divorce. Listen, we need to make absolutely sure that the government always and forever stays out of the church's business. The church is to influence government by their prayers, by their voice, and by their vote. But we do not need one solitary penny of the government's money to finance anything in our churches or in our colleges. If you take their money, they're going to dictate what you will teach. And we're beginning to see the results of what they've been teaching. We don't need to be riding on the back of the beast. If you play with fire, you're going to get burned. Look at verse 17. For God has put in their hearts. Notice that phrase. For God has put in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast. Until the words of God shall be fulfilled. You see, God himself is going to see to it that these folks worship the beast. You say, well, that's weird. I've told you about it many times. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 11. Because they would not believe, it says, for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie and that they should be damned. You mess around playing around not receiving Jesus Christ when you got the opportunity, you're playing with fire, literally. Verse 18 in that same chapter says, and the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigns over the kings of the earth. We've already told you what city that is. I'm going to stop there because to move further, we're going to need a bunch more time, and we don't have it this morning. So we'll take that subject back up when we come back to the book of Revelation in a couple of weeks. But friend, when Jesus comes to take the church out, you need to make sure you're on that flight. Amen? You need your ticket ready to go. Because when he comes and the rapture flight begins, there's not going to be any opportunity for you to buy a ticket then. You can't buy the ticket anyway. You have to be given the ticket. You get the ticket through faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's called salvation. If you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's the promise of the Bible. The Bible also says that if that happens, it doesn't say anything about walking down an aisle or getting a little membership certificate or anything like that. It doesn't say anything like that. What it does say is this: if you really, truly believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and that God raised him from the dead, it says in another place, 2 Corinthians 5:17, that you will be changed, that you'll be a new creature, and that the old things will pass away, and behold, all things will become new. So the question is, friend, you may have walked down an aisle, you may have said a prayer with somebody, but were you changed? Did the old things pass away? Did everything become new? Bible says that's what happens when you're saved. So have you really been saved? Have you? I want you to think about that as our musicians come. They're going to get ready to play a hymn of invitation. But please shut everything else out. Don't let anything else distract you. I think that was the Sunday school lesson this morning, wasn't it? About distraction. Shut everything else out. Draw a circle around yourself. Don't talk. Don't move. Don't listen to anything else that's going on. Try to zone in on that still small voice of God who's asking you, are you saved? Are you ready? If I come today to take my bride to heaven, are you going to be among that number? There'll be no other chance. No other chance. Once it happens, and Jesus said it'll happen in a twinkling of an eye, you won't have any time to get ready once you see it happen. Time you see it happen, it is already going to be over. Are you saved? What are we going to sing, Gary?
182.
Let's stand. If you need to come and surrender your life to Jesus Christ today, I would rejoice in the opportunity to help you to do that. You just come and present yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Waiting on you.
He is waiting again.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you came to seek and save the lost. Lord, we thank you for our youth camp last week, and we thank you for the work that you've done there, and we pray for the children as they go to camp this next week, and that you'd speak to hearts and minister to hearts and tell them what you want them to do, Lord. We just put it in your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's join hands as we dismiss.